Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel. Each week they unleash their raw, stripped down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. You know, that's getting to be an old song, but it still works, Rusty. Playoffs, baby! Got underway last night. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Russ beating up Jim and Jim...
Taking it.
Jim's on, you know what? I'm becoming like a prize fighter. You know, you can knock me down, but I get up every week, Rusty. Yeah. I bounce back
with
up.
A smile on your face. Yeah, I'm surprised you're so giggly today after your Oilers are laid an egg last night.
Yeah, you know, they did, well, not an absolute egg, but we're going to talk about all things playoffs today. You've got some great lines, Rusty. Okay, and we've captured them on the show. So Oilers lose 4-3, and I'm a big Oilers fan. You're a big Leaf fan and a Kings. You live in LA.
You can't lose four straight unless you lose the first one.
Yeah. So I think everyone will get this. You said, come on, Rusty, it's time to record. And you said, hang on, I'm just taking an Oiler.
I got my Leafs jersey on.
I see that. Yeah, I see that. We're going to have to capture it. We'll get that on vid.
I thought I would put it on since we're 1-0.
Is that crest that big? Really? Is it always that big, or did you get an oversized?
No, it's just because I've got it in the camera. It's a normal size.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff happened. Well, we'll get to the playoffs. I guess the big deal, we talked about Guy Lafleur. I didn't realize that you had played against in your day. And, you know, it was sad news. People knew it was going to happen, right? He wasn't in the best of health.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he died a week ago or so. And, you know, I knew it meant a lot to people, but it was just this absolute mob of people that showed up. With a lot of players weighing in, a lot of veteran guys, the likes mm-hmm. of Lanny and Larry Robinson and Sittler, and many others. But the best interviews were kind of on the street with fans, and one guy who came all the way from Colorado.
Wow!
And they were interviewing him, saying, "You know, you might be several hours here in line before you get to get in." He said, "I'd wait several days." And he went on to not really nail down what Guy Lafleur was, but the guy was emotional, going, "You just have no idea what this guy meant to me as mm-hmm. a Quebecer, mm-hmm. and his humility and his heroism, all of it, nothing to do with his skill as a player." And
wow,
I didn't realize that about Guy, because it was one after another of people saying the guy was out of sight with, you know, what a terrific person he was. Mm-hmm. So pretty cool stuff, Rusty. I don't know who would be bigger. You know, unfortunately we're getting old enough now that our heroes are going to die. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Bossy shortly before that, but.
Well, the Richard and.
Yeah. Right.
You know, they've had some Howie Morenz. I mean, Montreal's had some incredible superstars and godlike players. So they've had a few, but for our generation and, you know, people who got to watch him as a kid or young, mm-hmm. as even as an adult, who are alive today to talk about it. I mean, he was so incredible when he got the puck. They, you know, they lifted people out of their seats. Mm-hmm. And when I got there in 88, Montreal, they were still telling stories about him, you know, a few years after, like, Guy sat there, Guy smoked cigarettes, Guy came here mm-hmm. at 3 o'clock in the afternoon before a game and taped up his sticks and hung out with the trainers. And they were still talking about him like he just left a week earlier. It was amazing.
Right. We had Liam McGuire on, and he told the unbelievable story. And then a guy texted me after listening to the show saying he was brought to tears when Guy flew his helicopter to Shawville, Quebec, because the guy was sick, but he was a huge fan. Mm-hmm. And so Guy flew in there, you know,
on his own dime, like paid for everything. And
That ain't cheap.
You know who reminds me that those stories remind me of Gretz. Like Wayne is so giving, and all when Liam was talking about Guy, it was like he was talking about Wayne, you know, very similar and humble and generous. And so, It's great to hear these stories of Guy Lafleur, I'm living in LA. You're obviously in Canada, so you're seeing all these interviews, which I'm not getting down here. And so it's nice to talk about it and hear that so many people, you know, showed up and showed their support and love for a great Canadian and a great Montreal Canadian.
Did you, Russ? You know, you obviously played pro hockey for many, many years. You bring up these stars' names. You were a star in the league. Is there sort of this unfair pressure on the hero guy, Russ, in hockey? And is there something extra there that is tougher to deal with because of this kind of hero status that a lot of these players have? That it's just not play the game, have a shower, and then off you go with your life. There's so many other things, especially when you hear people talking about what Guy Lafleur meant to them. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that, Russ? What it's like for other players who are, I don't want to say better than you, but you've been around superstars your whole life. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that at all? What the role is of the hero in hockey away from the game?
Well, listen, you know, I wasn't a star in the league, but I appreciate you saying that. But I played well on some of the teams that I played for, but I was taught early on by Boreas Salming how important the fan was to us and we were to them. Mm-hmm. And he said, without them, there is no us. And so really go, if somebody asks you for an autograph, sign it. Somebody wants to have a small conversation, short conversation with you, have it. Mm-hmm. And he really taught me as a young pro how to act like a pro. And you know, these being around Wayne and you know, in Montreal, Bob Gainey and Larry Robinson, they were left over from those super teams. And just the way those older guys carried themselves, the older player has a reflection on the younger player, good or bad. And I was lucky enough to be around Boria at a young age, and he kind of set me straight. I made a stupid comment when I was 18, and he put me in my place and said, you know, don't do that. And then he started talking to me and telling me other things. But, you know, these, like being around Gratz is like being around, it's like traveling with the Beatles. I mean, it's unfreaking believable. Right. During the Olympics in Vancouver, we went from a hotel to a restaurant, and he had his head down and he was flying through the streets, and then people started recognizing him, and then it turned into mayhem. And he goes, see why I can't live in Canada. Like every time he and I were in Canada together in Halifax, something crazy happened where 10,000 people showed up because they knew he was going to this restaurant.
Right.
And start cheering. And he just, every time we would be in those situations, I haven't been in a lot of situations in Canada with him. But he's just like, people go nuts.
Yeah. I have. Yeah. I've been in a lot of them.
Well, you're walking behind him going, I'm with Wayne with a sign.
That's Jim Jerome. Who's the guy in front of him?
I'm Jim and this is Wayne.
Who's the guy behind him? Yeah.
Here's my phone number, ladies.
Yeah, there's two stories there. One is we were playing golf a few years back. Gretz was in town, and we went to my golf course to play. You know,
video or no video?
No, shut it. Okay. Wayne, if you're hearing this, would you mind reaching out to me? Okay. So we pull up to the golf course, you know, right at the front where you drop your bag. And Wayne gets out of the car, and there's the back shop kids are there, right? They hire mm-hmm. kids, you know, to clean the clubs. And there was a young girl there. I forget her name now. So when Wayne stepped out of my car, you know, he stood up and he started walking towards and immediately went to these kids, you know, mm-hmm. said, "How are you?" He goes, "Wayne Gretzky," you know, like sticks yeah. his hand out. And the girl went white, okay, and dry mouth, and then sat down and started bawling her eyes out, you know, saying, "I can't, this is the greatest day of my life, you know, this is the greatest day of my life." And then, of course, we took a bunch of pictures, and so cool, right? So cool. You get an idea of what
the impact he has on people.
Well, the other one, Rusty, that has to do with you is you had told me about this guy, Russ. And he changed his name to Russ because he knew. And when you were telling me about it, I don't know if I believe that, Russ. What do you mean the guy showed up and waited hours and had every newspaper article and this and that and the other? Anyway, we brought him on. And I was stunned. I was stunned at the length that this guy went to be a fan of yours. You know, he told some great – you have to go back and listen to that podcast. He told a great story about – making up a bullshit story about him being a press guy.
Yeah, yeah. Made up a fake magazine or newspaper.
Yeah, press pass.
Reporter,
yeah,
press pass. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He said he was. When I got traded from Toronto to Montreal, he moved to Montreal.
Yeah,
he went to school there. Yeah, I still talk to Russ. He calls me. He's been buying my contracts. So he's been tracking down stuff that he doesn't have.
Right.
And he's found these copies of my signed contracts and he's buying them and he says he's going to give them to me.
Well, so the question is why? Okay. Okay. And his press pass was like the Palestine Times or something. I forget what the Egypt Chronicle, I forget what it was that he made up.
He's awesome.
And he whistled his way into some games. So you go, well, why? Why does Russ mean so much to this guy? And in the end, he's very chatty, man. He's a hilarious guy. Yeah. Yeah. Very funny. And an incredible stuff that he's done about you and for you and with you. In the end, he said, because he was one of the only guys, you know, he was a massive hockey fan. He loved a bunch of guys, Leafs, Canadians. I forget which, if he has one team over the other, that you were the only guy who stopped and gave him the time of day, you know? That spoke to him and conversed with the guy. And in the end, the incredible side of this story is he never once, when he said, why Russ? You know, why is this guy your number one? He never once spoke about your skill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was away from the ice. So anyway, that's a good wrap on it. Russ, thanks for listening. And I couldn't shake him for a while there. He kept I said, no, awesome. you had your 15. Okay.
You know, he went and watched my son play hockey down in South Carolina. He was down on business.
Right.
And drove 2 hours from wherever he was to watch my son Lawton play. So Lawton, he gave him tickets. He goes, no, I'll buy my own tickets. I go, no, Lawton will leave you tickets. And then Lawton, met him after, and I can't remember what the guys. I think the guys started calling Lawton on his team. He told them the Russ story, and I think for a week they all called Lawton Russ. He's a good fan. He's a good guy. He calls me every once in a while to say hello. And
yep, cool. God bless Guy Lafleur and you, Russ, and everyone else that you mean so much to these people. We sort of reflect on that this week.
Just a reminder, if you're enjoying the show, we invite you to subscribe, leave a positive review, or share the show with your friends and followers. Our website is thesuspendables.com.
So, Rusty, playoffs are underway.
Yeah.
At the end of the show, we're going to get your picks. Okay, and then we're going to keep track because you and I don't mind the action a little bit.
I'm up 500, by the way.
No.
So last night I text Jimmy.
You should have taken the bet.
No. I text Jimmy jokingly and I say Leafs 1-0, Oilers 0-1, and it was five minutes into the second period.
2-1.
Was it 3-2 or 2-1? I think it was 3-2.
One goal. Anyway, Kings were up.
It was 3-2. Kings were up, and he goes, On $100, 5-1, Oilers are going to win.
And then they tied it up.
They tied it up.
Yeah.
And I
you would have won $100.
No, I would have won 500.
No, no. I get the 5-1, Rusty. They're down a goal.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. See, I'm not a better like you. Okay. I'm a blackjack player.
Listen.
Okay, that sucks. I thought I was going to win 500.
No, no, no. I would win the five. They're down. So
I'm pulling up
here's
your,
what this is I'm good to know.
Pulling up your text.
This is good to know that you don't know how to gamble. So I'll tell you what. I'll you can pick the team and I'll tell you how much we bet.
Fuck. You know, I almost responded to you 10-1.
Oh my God.
Because I thought it was for me.
Yeah.
I'm looking up your text.
Yeah.
Fucker.
5-1. Give me 100 and I'll take the Oilers.
Yeah, you bastard.
Of course I would get the 5-1. Anyway, playoffs are underway. Rusty, I see you got your Maple Leaf jersey on.
Yeah, we're 1-0.
A bit of a dilemma for you because John Cooper is your coach, but your team's Toronto.
Oh, I'll jump on that bandwagon if they get up.
Yeah. did you watch the game?
I did. Until it was a blowout. I had taped it because, unfortunately, I told you about this off the air, but our friend's daughter committed suicide in Wisconsin.
No,
yeah, terrible. And we were at the service yesterday for this beautiful 21-year-old, almost 22, gifted runner. Super parents. They volunteered for everything. Her dad coached Brooklyn in every sport when she was little, and they would play every soccer, basketball, baseball, whatever. He was the coach. They have three daughters. This is their oldest daughter, and April 13th, I believe, she was at University of Wisconsin. People have probably read about this girl, NCAA track athlete, committed suicide, and they're very open about it during the service. And God, it was just, you know, when you have children and you just sit there and you just worry about your kids and you worry about your friends and their kids. And this is a healthy stud athlete, straight A student, accepted into this, to go from Wisconsin to London for economics, and potentially she wanted to be a lawyer everybody who got up just did a great job of describing their relationship with her. And her teacher taught her for 3 years, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and was her track coach for 5 years. And he just told the most beautiful stories of her. And I walked away from there and I go, that's why the great teachers are so great. Like right. This guy described this student, and at the end he said he loved her. And I just, it was I got no more tears to shed today because yesterday was a ball fest. So
right.
I was late for the game. So I taped it and came back and sat around. I poured a freaking huge martini and sipped on that and watched the Leafs absolutely spank Tampa, who they didn't really show up, Tampa. They would look flat.
Well, we'll get your breakdown on that. By the way, speaking of mental health, you've wrapped up your project?
Well, no, the Court Knoll Society for Mental Health is ongoing, but we had an auction where we raised $50,000 with a bunch of items, jerseys and trips and stuff. So we netted out 50 grand.
Nice.
And it's a charity that we're just going to continue to raise money and awareness. And what we're doing now is funding other people's projects or
all good idea.
Yeah. Like things that are already up and running. So they apply for grants from us,
right.
And then we give money to those that are, we find worthy, or, you know, we can't do them all. There's so many good ones, but we pick and choose. So the more money we raise, the more people that we can help. So it's good.
Right on, man. So let's, Rusty, let's talk about the playoffs. Let's talk about them from a player's perspective. We know what it means to the fans. It's cool. I mean, the Raptors were in the first round. They've got that Jurassic Park, in front where the fans just flood in there who don't have tickets. And now, of course, it's been taken over by Leaf fans. So we know what it means to fans. It's crazy. And Oiler mania is going on here. So going into the playoffs, Russ, talk about it as a player. What the mindset is? Is there different strategies? Do the coaches come from a different side? Are there guys who step up, you know, and tell their stories about what you got to do? What do we got to do to win? I'll do anything to win this thing. And I'm wondering at some point where you heard a guy go, okay, stand out of my way. I will kill anyone that gets in my way, where you have to sit the guy down and go, okay, Scooter. Anyway, talk about
it's,
it from,
well,
from
a Well, the player. Playoffs are awesome. It's everything changes. Practices change. You're together more. Sometimes, like when I played Montreal, we'd go away before the playoffs for a few days and practice and stay in a hotel together at a ski resort or something like that, little right. town. There's just so much focus from everybody. The media, there's more media, and the longer you go, the more media are in your locker room.
Sure. So,
from other cities that, you know, didn't make the playoffs and then get knocked out, they keep sending those media people. So everything changes. Travel. It's awesome. Like it's such a, it's the playoffs and the spring's in the air, you know, the weather's changing and the cities are coming alive. They're coming out of that winter, you know, season where right. things are starting to blossom, and it's just, it's a great time. And the further you go, the warmer it's getting and more people outside. And, you know, it's just the buildup for each game is just so massive, both home and away.
What was your first playoff, Russ?
Oh, my
first that day playoff. That you stepped on the ice.
My first playoff ever was against Chicago. They were second in the league to Edmonton in points, and we were the lowly Leafs. We were the last place team, last worst record in the NHL to get in the playoffs. And we swept Chicago in back then. The first round was in a best of five, not best of seven.
Right.
And we beat them. So the first two games were in Chicago, and then we finished them off in Toronto.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you remember the feeling?
It was unbelievable. And Toronto, oh, when you win in Toronto, it's nuts. Like after we swept Chicago, people literally thought we were going to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, we would have had to beat Edmonton, but
right.
we freaking go out old Maple Leaf Gardens to the parking lot on Church Street across the way. There was an old parking lot there. To get to our cars, they had to have police escorts to get just walk oh, across no the street. It was awesome as a young kid. I mean, it was so much fun. Yeah, it was a blast.
What Rusty is the? We just heard about Russ Drebin there. That the gesture of giving you his contracts. What? I'm sure you never have to buy a beer when you're winning playoffs in Toronto. Can you think of the biggest thing that a fan has ever done for you or for a player that you heard of? Yeah, with I don't know if that.
Well, I mean, nothing huge. Like, didn't buy us.
Russ is pretty strong with changing his name. That's a pretty good gesture.
Yeah, I mean, nobody bought us a car. Like, nothing crazy. I mean, somebody might have bought us dinner or drinks or something, but no, I don't remember anything crazy that stuck out. If I remember, I'll say it, but there's nothing other than just, you know, drinks, dinner, you know, something fun like that. But
I'm like a good lawyer. Never ask a question unless you know they have an answer. And the craziest thing, and you might've been there that year, that I've ever seen by a fan was a guy who came to Gretz's fantasy camp. And I think Gretz, speaking of gestures, paid his way because the guy was such a fan. Because Gretz couldn't believe it when the guy sent photos that he has tattoos of every team that Wayne played for.
And didn't he have a picture of Wayne on his shoulder or something?
It was like freaky.
I remember that guy.
Yeah, so he had, you know, the Kings, Edmonton, St. Louis, and New York. And when the guy was by the pool, I thought, well, no one is that crazy. And I went over saying, this is a fake. And I went to rub off the tattoo.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that's the craziest thing I've ever seen from a fan about Yeah, permanent, by the way, tattoos. Okay, Rusty, your Leafs wipe out your buddy, John Cooper.
It's just one game.
Give us a, is that what you said? Just one game?
It's just one game. I mean, but it's
however,
it was way more important for the Leafs to win that game than it was for Tampa. Yeah, because Leafs have lost in the first round for the last few years, and they needed Mitch Marner to score. He scored. They needed to win. They did it, and all the right players played really well. So they look good first game. I mean, there was more pressure on Toronto than there was on Tampa to win that game.
Right, so, at home, of course, too.
Yeah,
right.
So we'll see. I mean, they're Tampa is a great team. They got which I think is probably the best goalie in the league. They're not going to go away quietly unless there's injuries that nobody knows about.
Right. Either team won't go away quietly here. Yeah.
But Tampa, if they don't have some underlying injuries that we don't know about, they're going to be tough to beat.
Rusty, when you see these games, I have a note here to ask you, what prevents teams, Rusty, besides the obvious, from winning? Is it they normally say when you look at playoffs, is it normally because they make a bunch of mistakes, Russ, because of nerves or whatever, or does another team have the extra gear that you hear about all the time? Generally,
I really think that teams that I remember our run when we lost to Calgary in the finals, they had the extra gear and we just couldn't get there, and they got stronger and we were tired. Mm-hmm. I blame it on our travel, cause we flew 3 red eyes in 7 days, which was stupid.
Right.
And Pat Burns admitted that after he won his Stanley Cup in New Jersey, that he made a big mistake by planning it out that way. But he never told anyone till he won a cup, because he thought if he never won a cup, it was his fault.
Right.
But when you're rolling, like I've been in series where we're the underdog, beat Chicago, and we got confident. Mm-hmm. We were playing really well. They were the better team and we rolled them, and everything's just started happening for us. And then we lost in 7 games to St. Louis. Otherwise we would have played Edmonton in the semifinals that year. And we are the lowest placed team in the league with the fewest points. And so teams that go into the playoffs and are playing really well, I kept talking about the Vancouver Canucks. If they kept playing the way they were playing and made it to the playoffs, they were going to be so tough to beat because of their record and how mm-hmm. hard they've had to play all the way into the playoffs. What worries me about Colorado, who are so great, is they shit the bed didn't show up the last 5 or 6 games. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to turn it on in hockey. You can't turn it on and off. And coaches used to always say that to us, you know, you can't turn it on and you can't turn it off when we're young. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. They were right. You got to stay. It's like riding a bike and you just got to keep going and on those hills, you got to stay steady. And then fly down the hill. And then when you hit another hill, you just got to be steady and not blow everything on trying to get to the top of the hill as fast as you can. You just got to be and you need some players to really come out of the woodwork and play unbelievable. Like you need 1 or 2 players just to shock the world and like go, holy shit, where'd that guy come from? Whether it's a goalie or a goal scorer or somebody's unbelievable defensively, but you need a surprise player like those, you know, we all know in Edmonton, Toronto, all the best teams, you know, who should score.
Right.
It's the guy that you don't think of that all of a sudden is like just filling the net and he's outscoring your best player. That's a huge freaking advantage if you can get some player just to step up and play great.
Nerves too, right, Rusty? Some guys just can't handle it, right? I've heard stories of guys going, you know, goaltenders, right? Are just like puking before games, you know, that they're just overwhelmed. You know, they can't, they lose feeling in their hands when they get whacked with, okay, it's playoff time, you know, the first time. And
oh my God, the excitement is fucking unbelievable. I couldn't sleep. The excitement is unbelievable. The further you go, the more excited you are. And the buildup, you know, it's right. just phenomenal. And you're like, oh my God, you know, win four. Now you got to win another four. And you're halfway there if you win two series.
Right.
You get into that third one, you win a couple games, you go, oh my God, I'm six wins away. Like your mind is just going crazy. Like, oh my God, is this reality? And then, you know, if you get there, like I got there once and we only won two games. So it's two mm-hmm. wins shy
right.
of winning the cup. And it's worse than losing in the fucking first round because, you know, you lose in the first round, like, oh, well, that was the shits. But losing in the finals is the worst because you right. can replay those two games and go, if we had done this, if that had happened, boom, we could have, it could have happened. But the longer you go in the playoffs, the more exciting it is, the harder it is to sleep. Everything is, and you punish your body. Like all these guys, just they go through. It's a war to get
game
there,
every so, second night.
Yeah,
and a tough awesome. One. Yeah, I remember speaking of focus of what it meant, and when you're talking about the excitement, back in the Oilers days, I'll tell you the end of this story. So the game was over, and so we had always this meeting place after. And so I'm waiting there and Mess comes out, right? And goes, hey, you were supposed to drive me to the rink before the game. I said, I did. Like he just completely forgot about it.
What?
Like, I picked him up and I can tell he was like zoning. Like there was, you know, we weren't.
Was he concussed maybe?
No, he wasn't concussed. He was just so focused, like just. Like so into it that he was kind of losing his mind.
Oh, okay. You
know? And it was, I just wow. remember that. And he goes, oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you didn't show up.
Jeez.
But he was, you know, he was like crazy focused guy.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah. I played with him in New York, man. It was unreal.
Yeah.
We lost in the semifinals.
Not fun being around him if you lose.
Oh, he was, I'll never forget. He was crying. I've never seen a guy cry like that
right.
after a game, after we lost to Philly. And it just meant, it always meant, winning meant everything to Mark. It still does. Winning means right. everything. He was such a great leader and such a great player and teammate. Everything about him was awesome. And man, we were all upset, obviously, but he was just for 5-10 minutes there, man. He was just bawling.
He wears
I'll never forget that. And we were in Philly, and he was to the left of me. I know where he was sitting. I was watching him. I'm like, oh, my God.
Right. This ain't going to be good.
No.
Rusty, what is the reaction of the Toronto Maple Leafs today when Kyle Clifford, runs Ross Colton? Okay, I don't know if you saw the play.
He didn't run him.
Well, he did.
He didn't run him.
He ran at him, and he flattened him into the glass. The puck was long gone from the play, and he checked him from behind, threw him up against the board.
From the side.
The guy smashed his face and fell down. Penalty, and he gets kicked out of that game for sure. And he may get more because of that. I guess if you're Tampa,
I hope they don't suspend him because it was from the side, and it wasn't directly from behind, and he wasn't his feet. And if I remember correctly, he wasn't what you call running, is when the guy's feet are, you know, he's still going at the player. I think he was coasting when he hit him. He hit him hard.
Yeah,
I think the player
snapped his head there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're making it sound worse than it was, but I don't think the guy deserves more than he received last night. I think the ref punished them, and it could have. Hey, a 5-minute play, major power play, that could have been it. I mean, that could have been the game right there. So I think I think he was punished. I think the team was punished, and they lived through it. And I don't think the league needs to suspend him. I really don't. And I'm not saying that because I'm like the Leafs. No. I'm giving you my honest opinion on that hit. I think that's not suspending him any further is the correct call.
Yeah, he's going to be up in front of them today.
Yeah. And they need to do that. I mean, I think they need to talk to him, but I don't think they need to. I think they should just warn him and say, you do that again, you're toast. But
what about when you got to skate? So you get kicked out, the penalty's called, you got to skate off Russ. What does the team like, is he going off? Oh, I'm going to get fucking killed here by the coach. Or is the coach winking at him going, not a bad play?
No, the coach, everybody's nervous and they love their teammate. And
is someone going to talk to him?
So no, that guy's gone in the locker room and he's watching the game on the TV with his gear on, shit in his pants, going, oh my God, come on, boys, kill this off. And it was the longest 5 minutes of probably his career. He's that nervous that they were going to get scored on, because that could have been the game. If they got two goals, I mean, would have been tough to come back.
If you're the captain of the team, Rusty, are you saying anything to the guy?
Yeah, you go
was
over
it and selfish say, to the guy, Russ, first of all? What, like, are you pissed or not?
In hindsight, he should have laid off and not hit him as hard as he did. But that's hindsight. I don't think it was as bad as you're making it sound out to be, what I watch. But you as a captain, I think you go put your arm around the guy and go, hey, we killed it off for you. You know, we need you on the ice. You're a big part of this team. Next time, just, you know, we need you on the ice. And that's enough said, right? That's
right.
I mean, don't take a stupid penalty.
Right.
So
he may be in a little trouble, Rusty, from our fact checking department, Stevie. This is the second time on the department's radar. Stevie writes to me.
Well, if they're meeting him, that's not good.
Fine. Kyle Clifford will have a disciplinary hearing today with the NHL Player Safety following his morning major on Ross Colton. This is his second time he's on their radar. He was fined $2,500. How do they get by, Russ, with that big April 22nd for a high sticking on Corey Perry.
Yeah, well, if they're meeting with him, chances are he'll probably get a game or two, but I don't think it was – I hope they don't.
Right. Whipping over to the Oilers game, Rusty. My Oilers, your Kings. Oilers lose 4-3. Rusty, the refs, okay, are calling – I don't know how many penalties were in that game, but there was a lot of penalties, and a lot of them, Rusty, were like, that's a penalty?
Yeah.
They called a ton, Rusty, and what going into the game, Russ, so obviously the refs had some sort of meeting saying, okay, we're going to call a lot and we're going to do it in the first game are they doing it to set a tone, Russ? And the other question I have for you is do they kind of tell the players, okay, boys, we're calling it tight tonight, so watch out?
The playoffs are always tight. So everybody, they talk about that before most games, before the series. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get away with this. And sometimes the reffing changes a little bit too. So they're going to call some things and maybe let a little bit some of this other stuff go. So you just, I think for the first couple games, you're kind of feeling out what the refs are going to allow and disallow.
Right.
The refs are as excited about, you know, reffing that game as the players are playing, and they want to move on and ref more games. So they're trying to be as diligent as they can and call, see everything, call everything, and they're human and they can, you know, we should get Larry Robinson back on here to fucking lay them out.
Yeah, Larry, not a big fan of the referees and not afraid to say it. What would you like to see, Russ, when they go into the playoffs? Tight games, a bunch of penalties called, or just let it fly, boys? Let them go.
The playoffs are great. I think there's always going to be mistakes made, and the teams are awesome. I think everybody knows the rules, that what's going to happen. So I don't think they need to make any changes, but I personally wish that I probably shouldn't say this.
Yeah, say it.
I wish the color commentators were all ex-NHL players.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
I had a hard time listening to a couple games last night, especially one.
And I agree.
And I just, when I hear a player talking about players who's played the game and they're describing things that are, you know, it's like listening to football when you hear Troy Aikman and talking about the quarterbacks and stuff. Just, as a fan, to me, it's just awesome to hear that. And I think in the NHL playoffs, I wish it was just the NHL guys calling the games.
Right. Okay, Rusty, we're going to go through what is historically the worst radio ever. But we're going to do it quick. So you're going to pick your teams. LA Oilers.
Oilers.
Okay. Bruins Hurricanes.
Oh boy, that one's tough. My boy Cam.
This is why it's the worst radio. Pick.
Carolina.
You pick Carolina. All right. Tampa, Toronto.
Toronto.
The Leafs and Blues Wild.
I'm gonna go with the Wild.
Wild. Penguins, Rangers.
Rangers.
It's your old team. You got them. Capitals, Panthers.
Panthers.
Florida. All right. The Preds and Colorado. I think I know this one.
Colorado.
Colorado, by the way, in tonight's game, it's their opening game.
Yeah.
Is almost a 3.5-1 favorite.
What does that mean?
If you bet 100 on Colorado and they lose, you owe 320.
Ooh. I'm not betting anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Dallas and Calgary.
Calgary.
Calgary, yeah. And you don't
and that's, you know, that's my old team too, right?
Right.
But Calgary, we gotta have Sutter doing more interviews. We gotta have Calgary keep going. Fuck, I wake up every morning, wait. I want to hear what he had to say the night before. Oh my God.
Yeah. And he was never like that as a player.
Oh fuck.
I
don't know if it's the internet, social media that now we're seeing all this stuff. Maybe he was like that all the time. But how about the 8 o'clock game? An 8:30 in Dallas. Like he's gotta stay awake. Because we could be playing till midnight.
Yeah, I know. He's so funny. And also
my God.
He was also the guy who said, if you face Colorado in the first round, okay, not only like sarcastically, good luck to you.
Yeah.
It'll be a waste of 8 days. Right? Something like that. It'll be a waste of 8 days. Here's the biggest non-story, Rusty, before we go. And I didn't even know this thing was a go, okay? And none of it appeals to me at all. Is they're going to try this three-ice hockey league, okay?
Three-ice.
The new professional three-on-three hockey league called Three-Ice has announced its rosters for its debut campaign, highlighted by former NHLers, even some Olympic influence. Hall of Fame guys are going to coach. Your buddy Carbo, Guy Carbonell, Grant Fuhr is a coach, John LeClair, Joe Mullen, Larry Murphy, Brian Trottier are going to be the coaches.
Jeez.
I don't want to bore everyone, Rusty, but I went down the list of the players.
Yeah.
Literally going, never heard of them. Seriously.
Well, it's like, they
give the rosters of these teams. It's like.
Yeah. Well, if they were great, they would be in the NHL.
NHL veteran David Booth, Steve Oleski, Chris David Connor, Booth. Greg Mulden, Leland Irving.
You'd think 3-on-3 would be a younger, they'd be after younger players because that's a lot of work.
Samson Mabeau, Jeremy Brodeur. I haven't JC
Capetta. Yeah.
Anyway, June 18th, I think it kicks off in Vegas. So that's not very nice of us. We should be supporting these things. Anything to do with hockey. So far, we've done well. They got to get rid of a bunch of commentators in this league shit.
Hopefully, they don't lose all their money in Vegas.
Here's Rusty's picks. The Oilers, Carolina, Leafs, Wild, Rangers, Florida, Colorado, and Calgary. Rusty, another show in the books. It's our NHL playoff show.
There we go.
Last week, by the way, we had Liam, week before, Jamie McCowan, Theo Fleury. So if you go back, there's some great stuff in there on the show. Rusty, let's go. Go Leafs, go. I'm on board with the Leafs, okay? And go Oilers, go. They'll be back at it on tonight, actually, when this show comes out on Wednesday. So take it easy, Rusty. Go wash that jersey, by the way. There's a bunch of wine stains on it.
No, there isn't.
We'll see you later, Rusty.
Thank you, pal.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. You've been listening to The Suspendables with me, Jungle Jim Jerome, and Russ Corbin.
Thanks for listening to The Suspendables. If you're enjoying the show, we invite you to subscribe so you never miss a single episode, leave a positive review, and share the show with your followers. And check out our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.